Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, and we have four members of the congregation who will be leading us in this scripture reading, so I invite them to come forward now.
Our reading today is from chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon.
A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as those to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps." I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans came from the city and believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. In the heat of the day, we gather at a well situated in Samaria, no place for an upstanding Jew. Yet traveling north from Judea to Galilee, Jesus ignores the common practice of circumventing Samaria and instead takes the most direct route, which happens to take him right through this town of Sychar, a neighborhood, a region most of his people would avoid. And rather than hurrying through, Jesus stops at a well where he meets a woman and asks her for a drink. Preachers through the centuries have often turned John's description of this woman into a portrait of sin, until that view has been nearly cemented in our understanding. But when we look at the cultural context in which this woman lived, a very different picture emerges. Her story is set in a culture where 12-year-old girls were often married to grown men their fathers chose, a time when wives had few legal rights and little recourse in cases of violence, and unmarried women have even fewer protections under the law. And most importantly of all, this woman lived in a culture and at a point in history where women could initiate neither marriage nor divorce themselves. Because she is part of this society, a society with such strict separations between men and women, and Jews and Samaritans, and probably also because she's grown accustomed to being shamed and shunned, when Jesus addresses this woman, she is cautious and confused, uncertain what this unknown man might want. And yet, as Jesus goes on speaking with her, there is something in his voice, in his promise of living water, that compels her deeper in the conversation, until at last, in hopes of such a gift, she dares to breathe her truth, "I have no husband." And he responds, "What you have said is true." Jesus goes on to add even more of her truth. She has had 5 husbands, and the man she is living with now has not married her. Jesus knows it all. And yet he speaks to her not with judgment, but with compassion. He understands that having had 5 husbands, whether because she was repeatedly widowed or divorced, would never have been, could never legally have been, her choice for her life. What's more, Jesus knows that she has come to the well in the heat of the day, drawing water alone, because on top of everything else, the women of her village have shunned her. Perhaps they, in their own social insecurity, fear that her bad luck will come to them. But Jesus has no such fears. He knows her truth, and he does not hesitate to talk with her. By treating this woman as someone worthy of dignity, Jesus refuses to abide by those social structures designed to keep them apart. He refuses to shame her. He will not joke about her past or treat her with suspicion, as though she must have done something to bring it on herself. Instead, Jesus listens to her. He engages her in a theological discussion, and he discloses to her the truth of who he really is. When the disciples return and see him talking with this woman, they keep their tongues in check. Perhaps they were thinking, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" But they do not name those suspicions. Instead, they follow Jesus' lead and keep their tongues from judgment. Whether or not she has a husband, and whatever violence or loss she has lived through, Jesus has given her the living water that she hardly even knew she needed, the water of discovering who he is and finding her value in God's love. Jesus has quenched the thirst of her soul, and she departs from that well with dignity and joy, rushing to proclaim the news of meeting Jesus to the very people who had shunned her. Now she is the evangelist who brings her village to Jesus. For Jesus listened to her, and now the people of her town listen too. Jesus believed her, and now the others do too. Jesus treated her with respect, and now the people of her town do too. This woman's story challenges the church here and around the world, because so often our human tendency is to go to the well in the cool of the morning when people will be there with whom we want to associate, the people we think of as being like us. But that's not the time of day when Jesus goes to the well. He goes there when he knows respectable people would have avoided it. And he invites this woman into conversation, not avoiding her truth, but listening to her and loving her, entrusting her with a new message, one rooted in pain, transformed to hope, the living water that comes from meeting the Messiah. With this living water flowing through her soul, the woman leaves her bucket behind. Now she has become the vessel of the living water, carrying within her the news of Jesus. And she understands that she must share this truth because the people around her, they're thirsty too. This Jesus who offers living water to all challenges his disciples to join him at the well and to be there in the heat of the day, choosing to spend time with those who differ from us. It's what the Samaritan woman does when she brings back those who had once shunned her and leads them to Jesus so that they might drink the living water too. Presbyterian pastor Alonzo Johnson, in a sermon on this scripture, says that by God's grace, we as Christians are called to be living water, seeping relentlessly into dry and parched places and to people with whom we might rather not interact. Reverend Johnson says, "Jesus gets on my nerves sometimes. He goes places I don't want to go. But you know, you got to go." So where is it that you've got to go today? Who in your life, in your school, your place of work, your family, your community, your church, might it be easier to avoid? Is Jesus pulling on your spirit, inviting you to take a route through Samaria, pausing there by a well you have not visited before? Is Jesus calling you to turn a space of separation in your life into a well of welcome from which his living water can flow? May we all find in Jesus our source of true life and drink deeply from his well of welcome. And may we be ones who welcome others to the well, sharing the good news of Jesus, who welcomes every one of us with his overflowing grace and love. Amen.